Yo, today is an historical day. I mean, I called it. See, you know I called it. I called it from almost 3 years ago. Everybody was like, no, he not gonna get it. Okay. Keep saying that. And there's so many people right now, as of May 30th, 2024, yo, people owe Alvin Leonard Bragg an apology. An apology. Especially the white liberals on TV, the white lawyers on TV, they all owe Alvin Bragg an apology and a grave apology because they disrespected him the whole fucking time.
Welcome to the weekly show about art, politics, and pop culture from a phenomenally female perspective. I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Eliane, and this is Unapologetically She. Everyone, welcome back for another episode of Unapologetically She. We are on episode 52, but season 3, episode 11. And this is going to be our last episode until just after 4th of July. So we're taking a little bit of a break, but we're going to be back so we can like cover stuff further on during the height of the election season. So, Miss Shantae, how are you today? How was your week?
I'm fine. I'm living and maintaining, as a drug dealer said once upon a time ago. Rest in peace, Rich Porter. But I'm living and maintaining. I went back to work. I took some days off. I went back to work as of yesterday because they tell us like we gotta like use our days because your day is not gonna roll over after June 30th. I said, okay, cheap asses. So I am gonna use Friday and Tuesday. See y'all on Wednesday. My boss used from like last like Wednesday all the way up until like Friday because she has mad time. Like, because she does payroll for the whole entire organization.
Right.
That's a lot. So, and then
Nice.
a lot of people are using their time because it's like we thought, because there was so much stuff going on our job. So, like, it's just my week just been crazy. And went to the doctor, you know, got my results. My cholesterol is a little high, but I'm not pre-diabetic. Thank you,
That's
Lord.
good. That's good.
Yeah, because last year I was, and this year I just turned that motherfucker around because I was stressed. I was stressed. But how are you, though? You still maintaining that hair, as always.
I'm finally kind of like used to styling it with the new cut and style and everything. So it's
You look like you could be part of a rock band with your hair out the puck. I'm pretty sure you got that a lot.
if I went back to the same hairstyle that I had when I was in Korea, it was pretty much like a shorter version of this, but choppier. And my hair was black at the time. I looked like freaking Joan Jett. So like I could go back into my Joan Jett era. But no, it's got used to the haircut, used to styling it again. The husband and kiddo and I were down in New York City on Sunday.
You could have hit me up. I would have,
You know
even
what?
though.
We were only there. We caught a bus early in the morning. Got dropped off on Fifth Avenue near Broadway. And then we took the train
That's like the Q.
to
Yeah, took the 7.
the seven.
Okay.
We took the seven over to City Field for
And
the
Flushing.
Mets Giants game. And then we got right back on the train back to where our bus was going to go and came right back to Albany. So like we weren't even there very long. Just long enough for the game. And it was a belated Mother's Day gift. I knew that he was getting the tickets, but the game wasn't until like the series wasn't until this last weekend. So That was my Mother's Day present. He knew I was feeling homesick. He knew it's been a while since I've seen my Giants play. So he took me to a Giants game and they lost by one, but they won the series. So I'm happy.
Listen, the next time, you could be making like little small trips to the city every now and then. 'Cause it's like, it's even if you don't take the train, you could take the bus. Shante, just let me know where you at. 'Cause I'll be able to find you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I
I
mean,
mean,
come on, Sarah, let's go.
it was only $20 a person to get the bus.
Greyhound, right?
No, it was like one of those little like random buses, like they pick you up at a location like on like whatever street.
Oh, it's like one of those buses, like the boat. It's similar to Bolt Bus. Okay, got it. 'Cause I know, like, 'cause I used to like, I didn't like the Chinese bus, like the Feng Hua. I didn't really care for that. I like Bolt Bus and Mega Bus because safe drivers. So like,
We had our bus to come back to Albany was in Chinatown.
oh, it was like all the way downtown then.
That one was in Chinatown. I mean, like I said, we got dropped off like right by the Empire State Building in Macy's.
Oh, on 34th Street. Okay.
So like we just walked down to Fifth Avenue and Broadway, and then on the way back we
You
were
was
in
in the
China.
shopping center.
I
Ooh,
know, I
ooh,
know. And I was just
ooh.
like, oh, I don't have time to shop. But yeah, our bus back was in Chinatown, and so we took the Chinese bus back up to Albany.
Now, if you was with me, you know we would have hit up 34th Street. We probably would have went to Soho. I probably would have took you to the hood, 125th Street. So I'm just like, hey, Sarah, this is n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n- So, because she's in the Bay Area, so, and that's your neck of the woods.
Well, Sacramento's not really part of the Bay Area, but it's close. It's like maybe an hour and a half to San Francisco from Sacramento. But and it was Dina's first Major League Baseball game.
That's nice.
And
her
first,
like happy.
Yeah, and her first Giants game. So she was excited about that.
And did they win?
No, they lost by one. We had it. It was like 3-1 until like the bottom of the ninth, and then the Mets just made a comeback, and it ended up being like 4-3.
No, my father does not like the Mets, and I'm pretty sure Mike don't like the Mets.
No, he doesn't. He is a hardcore Yankees fan.
Like my dad.
Which was made it so funny because he's a hardcore Yankees fan going to Citi Field, the Mets stadium, to watch the San Francisco Giants.
My father said, ever since what they did to Daryl Strawberry. I'm just like, you still pissed about that? Yes, I am. I was just like.
Oh, my God.
But he's from Uptown. So my dad's an Uptown guy. So, like, a lot of, like, Italian New Yorkers and a lot of Uptown and Brooklyn New Yorkers. And they really like the Yankees. The Yankees is the shit. Yep. And the Yankees have more people of color on their team versus the Mets. So. Mm-hmm.
The Bronx Bombers.
Exactly.
Yup. So we've had some good news this week, which I'm sure we're probably going to get into in the episode. But for a celebratory drink, 34 counts, guilty, unanimous. So our celebratory drink, our drink of the week this week, is a strawberry mint sangria. And what you need a pound of strawberries, sliced and divided, a cup of loosely packed fresh mint leaves, divided, 2 ounces of simple syrup, one bottle of dry white wine, like Sauvignon Blanc, a cup and a half of soda water, 2 ounces of Saint Germain. You need to juice one lemon. Then you'll need another lemon, thinly sliced, and then ice. And then what you'll do is you'll muddle half of the strawberries and half of the mints into like a chunky paste. Add the simple syrup and then keep muddling it until the strawberries are completely broken down. Then fill your pitcher with ice. Strain the strawberry syrup through a mesh sieve into the pitcher. And then add your wine, your soda water, your Saint Germain, and the lemon juice, and stir to combine it all. Stir in the lemon slices and the remaining strawberries and half cup of mint, and That's your strawberry mint sangria. And if you don't drink alcohol and you want the mocktail, just replace the Saint Germain with an ounce of elderflower syrup.
That looked festive.
It's cool and minty and fruity, and it's just like a really good summer drink. So, yeah. And then with that, I'm also going to ask the burning question. As soon as y'all go make your drinks, hit pause, come back, take a few sips, and then get ready for our burning question. Okay, now you're back. I want to know if you could steal anything that would only mildly inconvenience people, what would you steal?
Mildly inconvenience people. I really don't have it in my blood to steal, but because I really don't, because New York State prosecute you to the highest law if you shoplift. But this is the truth. If I was to steal anything, I know I sound like a I can't steal from a bank because no, that's just too heist. Even though it will mildly inconvenience people.
No, like somebody like mildly inconvenience like a person, like.
I will steal a designer bag, okay? I will steal a designer bag because I need it. I'm not paying my salary a month for a fucking bag. I'll steal a shit.
I would steal. See, it's a toss-up for me. I would either steal somebody like one sock from every pair, or I would steal a shoelace from each pair of shoes. Like just one shoelace from the pair. So they only have one set of sh they only have one shoelace for two shoes.
Sarah, that's petty.
It's a mild inconvenience.
Nah, I was still a bag. I don't care. Like, I'm not paying up teen money. Get the fuck out of here. Like, tripping, bugging. But speaking of people stealing stuff,
go.
let's talk about our shot and chaser. So our shot and chaser is those, if you just joining us, which I don't understand why you're joining us, but anyhow,
Either
where
way, I
we
mean, it may have taken you a long time to get here, but we're glad you're here.
see Sarah's better than I am. And I'm the one that goes to church, keep in mind. The Lord is still working on me. Anyhow, shot and chaser is where we have our topics and the others don't know, and then once we spot our topics, our co-hosts will chime in and give their rebuttal and their take on it. So since I'm moderating this, Sarah, you go first.
Okay, I've got a good one.
Highlighter, pen, paper, it's right there. See? I
You know
knew
it.
it.
You know it. So, this is an issue that none of us should be getting tired of talking about or hearing about with the 2024 election coming up, because we know that President Biden or the convicted felon will be in the White House to pick two Supreme Court justices. We had the chance in 2016 to have three liberal Supreme Court justices, but people didn't want to vote for the email lady. So we have the opportunity with Alito and Thomas to get those two seats to liberals. To liberal judges, which would bring the court to a 5-4 liberal majority. And that's an issue, that's one of many issues that we have to vote on. And that is because this here that I'm going to talk about is one of those big issues. The conservative Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade with Dobbs. And now all of these conservative states are running roughshod all over abortion rights and reproductive rights. So the Texas GOP appears to be putting the death penalty on the table for abortion patients in its 2025 platform, 2024-2025 platform. I'm going to read you from some of the article. The Republican Party of Texas is considering a platform that appeals to that appears to endorse the death penalty for abortion providers and patients. Texas delegates voted on a 2024 platform at the state's GOP convention this past Saturday and aimed to tally the votes by Wednesday, yesterday, to finalize their platform for the coming year. The proposal called for new legislation to solidify, or no, next Wednesday. The proposal called for new legislation to solidify fetal personhood ideology into law, define abortion care as homicide, and criminalize in vitro fertilization. The 50-page document also includes a slew of other far-right ideas, such as proclaiming that gender-affirming care is child abuse, requires that Christianity and the Bible be taught in public schools, and clarifies that Texas retains the right to secede from the United States. The GOP platform calls for an equal protection of the laws to all pre-born children from the moment of fertilization, and later states that, quote, abortion is not health care, it is homicide. The phrase equal protection of the law is used in the anti-choice movement to define abortion as homicide and criminalizes abortion physicians and patients as murderers. Texas has executed more people than any other state, although the platform language doesn't require that Texas treat abortion as capital murder, the only offense that's punishable by the death penalty in the state. And Texas law currently treats the murder of a child younger than 15 as a capital offense. So logic dictates that they would be seeking death penalties for aborting a fetus. So if a fetus is considered a person, then it's considered a child, which is a quote unquote vulnerable population, and a homicide of identified vulnerable persons escalates penalties. The party platform also supports the adoption of human embryos, as well as the banning of human embryo trafficking, which is an obvious attack on IVF. If adopted, it would threaten IVF patients who choose to transfer their embryos out of state, fearing, you know, fearing what happened in Alabama would also happen in Texas. So it's also possible that people who refer these patients for IVF would therefore be committing human trafficking. But then it's also possible that people who refer patients traveling for abortion out of state would be considered as trafficking embryos. The document endorsed the banning of the manufacturing, importation, sale, dispensing, and use of abortifacients, such as Plan B, such as abortion pills like mifepristone and misoprostol. Also, widely regarded as an abortifacient, but it's not, are IUDs, which are contraception, as well as tools for other reproductive issues. So let's be clear, none of this would be possible without Donald Trump and his Supreme Court picks. So people need to start thinking about the Supreme Court. The problems with people on the left, like the further left, is that they do not think of the courts. They could care less about the courts. And the funny thing is that on top of all of this, they're coming for reproductive rights of penis havers too, because they want to eliminate condoms. The Project 2025 wants to eliminate all contraception, including condoms.
And you know what's the crazy part? They don't realize they're going to be having another AIDS epidemic again. But you know, like Sarah, like you said, the far left, the gentrified progressives, because I don't call them progressives because they're not. Progressivism, when I think of it, I think of change. I think of inviting people to understand what change is, whether you disagree or agree. I consider myself, at least I thought, but I know I'm still, you know, I'm a pragmatic progressive. I go by what you stand for, but what you have done and your receipts to back your shit up. These people that call themselves progressive, you know, the person that they worship mostly co-sponsored legislative with a conservative. So therefore, that person is not a progressive. Yeah, I know who I'm talking about. I ain't gotta say. But these people don't think that the courts are serious. The courts are very fucking serious. And especially those that don't look like me, for those in the community like you, and for our listeners that are not the cis white gender male, aka the straight white man with a dick, with a small dick because they don't really have a big dick.
Don't forget to add Christian to that.
And Christian, so-called Christians, as I said, because listen, if Jesus was
Quote
here,
unquote.
he will not appreciate that. These motherfuckers may be reading the Gideon's Bible because they sure enough ain't reading King James or the new International Version of the Bible because they will not approve of their bullshit. Yes, and this is a person that goes to church, and I could tell you that Jesus would not be approved. That Jesus hung out with any and everybody. He healed the sick and raised. That's right, he did. So all you people talk about I'm not voting and everything. I don't want to hear shit. I don't want to hear shit. You talking about, oh, this is that. I was like, did you vote? I was like, I'll walk away. And I did that. He was like, sis, why are you walking away? Because you didn't vote. Think about it. People got their heads bashed in.
Yeah, John Lewis being one of them. So people could vote. So black people could vote. So brown people could vote. And I see all of these people just so willing to piss their right to vote away because they're not getting every single thing that they want right when they want it.
Facts. And speaking, since I'm going to chime in on yours, because mine is almost similar to yours. So, as we continue the theme of the 2024 election, you know, the president, you know, and the vice president joined together in Philadelphia for the Blacks for Trump. Now, the Blacks for, excuse me, I'm sorry.
I was like,
The
what are
Blacks.
you, ma'am?
That's what I said. I had to excuse myself. The Blacks for Biden can't see because I'm happy of those convictions. But
We
the
got
Blacks,
convictions on the brain, baby.
we really do. The Blacks for Biden. You know, there were some criticisms, you know, for some folks, some news media folks say, we wait late. Yeah, you know, the campaign, you know, should have went out early. That is true. And the campaign should have been started. But when you have all of this stuff across the pond and overseas going on, affecting, and when you got a dysfunctional Congress and you're trying to fucking work with them, of course you ain't gonna be able to get shit done. And especially with these last 2 years of this fucking Congress, this 118th Congress, it's another reason why you should vote Biden and Harris and down ballot Democrat. Not vote Biden and Harris and go Republican, because some fucking folks did that shit in 2020. They did that fucking shit. So this is another reason. And what he said during that his during his speech in Philly, he said if black people was to storm the Capitol, and say like if President Biden didn't win the election in 2020. And if black people storm the Capitol because they ain't like the motherfucking results and just did whatever and assaulted anybody, they would have actually got shot.
At least.
The least. It would probably have been so many casualties, it would have been crazy. Many casualties, dozens, thousands of casualties.
Yep. I mean, look at what Trump did during the Black Lives Matter protests in DC, where
Tear
he's
gas people.
Yes, where he's one. He's bringing out General Milley and all these other people to stop these protests and like wanting to tear gas him and beat him down so he could hold up a Bible upside down. Like, we know what would have happened.
But I'm getting that at the so-called Voices for Black People, the quote-unquote foundational Black people, as if your motherfuckers and we all didn't come from the same fucking continent and we got dropped off in the Hispaniola Islands, also known as the Caribbeans, and the United States of America and South America and Canada. Let's not go there. But I'm speaking to all the Tariq Nasheeds and all you fucking dusty ass motherfuckers in the world. Let me tell y'all something. It's a binary choice. If you motherfuckers don't want to vote, that's fine. But don't influence other people to follow your fucking lead. Because at the end of the day, like, y'all still going to be grifting off of the very same fucking people that y'all want to fight for reparations for. The only way you can get reparations is by electing people that are going to be for reparations, and that's the Democrats is actually going to listen to your fucking shit. Because the conversation was brought up in Congress. The problem is these motherfuckers don't pay attention. They pay attention every 4 years, not every fucking year, like any other normal person would. And I understand people are not into politics. I get it. I understand it. But you have to read some type of, you have to consume some type of global village. Sorry, Sam, I'm coming up with those mass comm words. Some type of global village, whether it's the newspaper, whether it's your fucking phone, whether it's TV, or whether it's the radio, the AM stereo at that. You have to consume something, at least 20 minutes of your day, to know what the fuck is going on in your surroundings and just with everything else, because like now everything is coming to what you call it. So for these people to say that Black people won't come out and vote, you never know that. And like what Sunny said on TV today, and I'm sorry to quote The View, people say I get my political news from The View. That's not true. When I take all forms of media, it's called having massive of global village at my disposal. So look up what global village is, folks. It's a mass comm word. Sarah, you know, you're a communications person. So like consume that and understand that Black people, you know, are going to turn out for this president. And some folks said, well, you know, it might be the last time. You never know that. It's going to be more Black people. And trust me, if this president comes in, let's hope we invite our brothers and sisters from Haiti to this country, our brothers and sisters from Africa and to this country, our brother. And there is Black people in Brazil, honey. And who's to say they might vote Democratic or Republican, but they're going to mostly lean to the left because those, we are, excuse me. Ooh, Jesus. Democrats are the ones that's going to be fighting for you. So let's not listen to pollsters. Go out and vote. And Black women and Black men are going to show up to vote along with Hispanic women and some Hispanic men. Then our indigenous brothers and sisters. We can include the Asians too, because sometimes they're a little split. And then white people. But I always say that white women especially need to do better. People think I'm a racist, but they need to do better, because most of y'all are responsible for this convicted felon who was in the people's house making money off the people's house, saying that he did not accept the salary. That's a whole ass lie, because he did got that salary and made money and opened a motherfucking hotel and employ his raggedy ass daughter with her raggedy ass husband.
And as a white woman, listeners, I back up everything she just fucking said. It's not racist for her to point out that our fucking demographic is the goddamn problem. We have voted in majority numbers for Republicans since Civil Rights Act was passed. And people like to say, oh no, Clinton won the majority of white women because he got more than the Republican nominee. No, he didn't even get 50%. It was something like 47%. The 53% went to Republican and third party. So even Bill Clinton didn't get a majority of white women. So let's get that idea out of our heads right there. White women, since the Civil Rights Act was passed, have voted majority Republicans, period. End of. That's the fact. It's not racist pointing it out. And black people cannot be racist towards white people anyway. That's beside the point. White women, my people, my demographic, get your ass together. Make a fucking difference. And I keep saying, we're not going to let you off the hook until we start voting majority numbers for Democrats.
And Sarah has said that, and that is the end of that. So who's our nominee, Sarah, for Bitch Ass and Badass?
All right. So Bitch Ass and Badass of the Week, we nominate three candidates every week for Bitch Ass and Badass, the worst of the worst, the best of the best, and then we leave it to you, our listeners, to decide who the winner is. So, Miss Elian is not here today, as you all have noticed. She's finishing up the end of the school year, so she couldn't record tonight. Her nominee is Judge Eileen Mercedes Cannon for her bullshit ruling chastising Special Prosecutor Jack Smith, who was the lead prosecutor at the fucking Hague, chastising him and basically running the clock for Trump in the federal classified documents case against him. So, yeah, she's a bitch. I think, personally, I think she's getting help from someone, since that is Alito's district. I think she's getting help from him. That's pure speculation, but yeah. Anyway, Elian's nominee is Judge Eileen Mercedes Cannon. So, who do you have, Shantae?
I have Sean Combs. Y'all know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because only the Cassie theme, that's the icing of the cake. He always been an asshole. He's a good producer, don't get me wrong, but he's an asshole. And everybody knows it. So he never got a nomination. I'm nominating him. He was never nice to people. People that work for him can tell you that he was always an asshole. He was always a jackass. Like, I wasn't shocked about the video. I'm not shocked about what any of these fucking people do. Why people say, like, you don't have a pop star or anybody you worship? These are one of the reasons why. I will never worship a celebrity over myself. Get the fuck out of here, because these motherfuckers ain't going to think about me. They want my money for a concert. Who? I don't give a fuck about these people. I'll listen to your music, but I don't give a fuck about you.
Mm-hmm. What That's is it they say? Never meet your idols.
Exactly. And call me an asshole you want to, because I said what I said.
I mean, it's certainly applicable with him. God damn. Whew. He's
always been that way.
I'd love to see him in jail. I would. Human trafficking, child trafficking, all this other shit. Wow. Mm-hmm. He's a piece of work. My nominee is Justice Samuel Alito. Because it has been reported now for the last couple of weeks that first his wife flew, or his home address flew the flag upside down, which was a symbol used by January 6th insurrectionists. So it's showing that he's sympathetic to them and he's not recusing himself from any of the January 6th cases. But he wanted to blame it on his wife. Letting her take the fall. Blame his wife. Never mind that the woman appears to be completely unhinged, like spitting at neighbors and shouting obscenities at them. Like, seriously. Like, it's in all the reports. She's like, she's an unhinged fucking lunatic, like, insane white woman. And then it's come out that his beach house in, I think, is it New Jersey? Was flying another flag. I think it's Appeal to Heaven, the Appeal to Heaven flag. And while the flag has Revolutionary War roots, That flag was also flown by the January 6th insurrectionists. And he's just not making on any comment whatsoever about that flag. And of course, House Democrats on the Judiciary Committee and otherwise wrote him a letter saying, hey, you need to recuse. You are not a neutral arbiter of these cases. And he basically just said, how dare you question me? I'm not going to recuse because I'm just not going to do it. And I don't care about you pointing it out to me. You even asking me to recuse is political and being a bitch. So he's my nominee for bitch ass of the week. Yeah. So our bitch ass of the week nominees: Judge Eileen Mercedes Cannon, Sean Combs, Justice Samuel Alito. And our badass of the week nominees: Elian's nominee is the Biden administration for working to remove medical debt off of credit reports, which is going to be a life changer for so many people, because how many of us have medical debt from surgeries or something that
a lot of people.
Yeah. And it goes on your credit report. Oh my God, you had surgery that you couldn't afford because your insurance is supposed to cover it. Your insurance ends up not covering it. You end up having to pay out of pocket, can't afford it. And oh, look, now it's on your credit report. Well, Biden and Harris administration is working on making that no more. So, badass of the week. How about your nominee, Shantae?
Mine is Michael Tyler, the Biden and Harris communications director, for basically coming up with Robert De Niro up to the city down at Center Street, because that's where the court is, Center Street, which is near the Chamber Street area, which is also the financial district and also the court area, to basically hold a little press conference, a little rally, like, look, this is what it is. And shout out to the Biden and Harris campaign to pretty much just call it for what it is. And it's good to see more Black people working for the administration, which he has, the campaign, because it's different from the administration, where I don't want to violate no Hatch Act, where I'm that serious.
You're not a government employee, so it doesn't apply.
Okay, thank you. So, thank you, Sarah. So, pretty
federal,
much.
I should say federal. Federal government employee.
Thank you. So, pretty much, the campaign got a lot of Black people working for them like they did it 4 years ago. So, this man is, he asked the communication points spot on. So shout out to Mr. Tyler, Michael Tyler.
All right, my nominee is the Manhattan DA's office and prosecutors, as well as the jury that sat on this trial in New York City for Trump's hush money to the porn star campaign violation trial, which he was just found guilty on 34 felony counts. Unanimous, unanimous. DA Bragg brought his case. He had everything together. He had all his shit together. He made sure that it was a case that could win. His prosecutors were masterful in building the timeline and proving the case and making their arguments, their cross-examination, redirect, everything. Just mwah, chef's kiss. The part that worried me, like I mentioned earlier, was the jurors. I was scared about the jurors. But they came through. They listened to the evidence. They made sure they had the evidence. They made sure that they had the right rules. They had come out yesterday asking for a rereading of the judge's rules on deliberation. And they came back today with a verdict of guilty on all 34 counts. So in this particular instance, justice was done. So our badass nominees, once again, are the Biden administration, Michael Tyler, the communications director of the Biden campaign, and the Manhattan DA prosecutors and the jury. So
And those polls will be up soon. So thank you all for tuning to another episode. As my co-host said, we will be taking a break and we'll be back soon. We won't leave y'all holding so long because we know we got an election that, and this election is going to be crucial. It's going to be crazy because every election, every presidential, every election is going to be crazy, especially when they see people looking like me and, you know, and folks like Sarah, more women just keep voting and swinging to the left as always. So you can find us on our social at the handle at The Joyful She and all social media platforms. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Unapologetically She. I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Eliane.
You can find us on all social media platforms at The THEE Joyful She.
And it's because of listeners like you that we are able to share our thoughts on current events. Please support us on Patreon at The Joyful She.
We'll see you online.